13 minutes past seven now. Not only must justice be done, it must be seen to be done. That most famous saying about the workings of the courts does not apply to some of the most sensitive court cases, those heard in the family courts. But it soon might, thanks to a law passed 60 years ago. Family courts sit in private, and journalists can only report what the judge allows them to. Now, the most senior judge in the family division has unveiled plans to allow correspondents to recount what they see and hear in the court. It is a major shift, and it's likely to concern some of the family members involved in cases which cover very private matters. It's going to be welcomed, though, by others who say the privacy rules hide miscarriages of justice. Our correspondent, Sancho Berg, spoke to the president of the family division, Sir Andrew McFarlane.
At the moment, I expect the general public have very little knowledge as to how the family court works and what it does before it makes really big decisions with respect to people and their children. In the future, I want the family court to be as open as the criminal court, and with the public having an understanding as to the approach that the judges and the magistrates take and the reasons for the decisions that are made. So it's a very significant change.
But there are very good reasons, aren't there, why the family court isn't as open as the criminal court. The kind of information that's shared in the court, the nature of the decisions, the fact that these are very personal, intimate family matters. That's why people have been reluctant to open up these courts, isn't it?
You're entirely right, and that's why the decision about whether we become more open is so difficult. And the voice of children and family members who really do not want any details of their private affairs being made public is very powerful and strong, and rightly so. If I was involved, I wouldn't want my personal details to be connected with me out in the public domain. So I'm striving to achieve openness, but at the same time nailing down the court's ability to keep confidential and anonymous the details that are public.
Why is there a need to open up the courts now?
The family court undertakes a very wide range of work on behalf of society, dealing with disputes about people's children, but also removing, in care proceedings, children from their parents, often for life, and moving them on to adoption. There's no more important decision, I think, that can be taken by a judge in the modern world. And it seems to me that the population have a legitimate interest in knowing what we do and, as I think will be the case, having confidence that it's being done well and properly and for the right reasons and against the right principles once they know that detail.
But you also, in your document, talked about a decline in public confidence and the court suffering serious reputational damage.
It is not healthy, I think, for society to understand that there's something called the secret family court, but not understand what goes on behind closed doors, and therefore to assume that what goes on may not be satisfactory. And I think we have a duty to allow the public to understand far more of what goes on day by day up and down the country in the family courts.
So Andrew McFarlane there making the case for opening up the family division, which he is president of. Let's talk now to Dr. Julia Brophy, who's an expert on children's privacy and safeguarding issues. Morning to you.
Good morning.
How concerned are you that children's privacy, something that you specialise in, will be compromised by this?
Well, I'm not sure that it will be compromised, and we very much hope that it won't. So can I firstly say that we broadly welcome the measures that Sir Andrew is proposing as these relate to the importance of the privacy and safeguarding children. He states very clearly in the report that greater openness must not be at the expense of the interests of children. Therefore, all the changes that he sets out must be subject to the proviso that the anonymity of individual children must be preserved. And that includes means taking account of social media. So, in other words, judgments must be fit for the digital age.
But in other words, that is quite a change and quite a job, isn't it, practically, to make sure that the information does not leak out onto social media, that there's not what is called in our world jigsaw identification, you know, a fact here and a fact there, and you can piece together who you're talking about.
Absolutely. And we've done an evaluation of the president's recent 2018 guidance to judges to try and prevent jigsaw identification and unreasonable disclosure of intimate details of the abuse of children. Now, how that is going to be done, and I have to say that Sir Andrew accepts absolutely the findings in relation to those concerns, both from children and young people and indeed from the research team. What that means in terms of his proposals is that bloggers and indeed accredited media reporters must be subject to clear rules and maintain both the anonymity of children and confidentiality in relation to intimate details. In other words, the two issues are not irreconcilable. It can be done. The guidance demonstrates that it is possible to do it. What we need to look at is better implementation of the practice guidance.
It can be done, you say, but you sound, yes, I think, pretty nervy that confidentiality will in reality be maintained.
It has to be maintained if the system is going to have credibility with the general public. Don't forget that parents are also members of the general public, as are young people. So it has to be done. It's not incompatible. It is legitimate, of course, to enhance public understanding of the work of the family courts. And judgments have a role to play in that, but not in their current form. So there have to be some changes.
Dr. Julia Brophy, thanks for joining us.